crema.
Jerry Osman regresa de la por favor. Una vez más, Lamar Stevens, ¡qué bárbaro!
Broadcasting live
ish
from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on the sunny shores of beautiful Lake Erie.
About front, long three. Good! Kevin Love! Oh my goodness, from the Vermilion Lagoons! Makes it 86-76. Cavs by 10.
In downtown Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
You've tuned in to Wine and Gold Radio.
Folks, this is a garbage spectacular.
Now, here are your hosts, Rafa, J-Bike, and Joe G.
That boy's good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
Yeah, hey, everybody. Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey.
Welcome to episode 16 of Wine and Gold Radio. This is our first off-season episode. Last week, John Michael couldn't join us because he had technical issues, Rob, remember?
And Jared Allen was on the road, on the last road trip of the
right, and Jared Allen season. Was unable to help him. This week, John Michael is unable to join us because he's got the Metallic P Wagon Queen family truckster. And he's taking the drive cross country. He's on family vacation.
J-Mex. He's checking out his state.
Yeah,
he's one of the other states. It's not in Ohio. It's somewhere else. But he's checking out the Michael state.
Yeah, so the J-Mikes are out on the open road. So last time we brought in a heavyweight. We brought in Tad Carpenter. Today we're bringing in, and I hope he doesn't mind, he's kind of a two-way guy. He's our... we're bringing in, and he is, and this is the best two-way guy we're ever going to have. Because we got the great Sean Wyatt joining us today. Sean, what is your... I never know guys' titles. I just know your name. You're the Sean Wyatt of our organization. What's your title?
I mean, I'd like to think it's Charge Czar. But technically now, you know, I did just get a little promotion. So I'm vice president of player of team services and communications for the Canton Charge.
Ooh, if you want to get very good.
And you're, again, you're Charge Czar sounds way better.
Czar sounds way better. Way better. And you're the pride as well. You're a hometown kid, right?
Yeah, I was born maybe a mile from the Canton Memorial Civic Center, maybe a mile.
Nice.
And you did your time in the Canton Football Hall of Fame, of course.
Yeah, yes. This is my first job in sports, cleaning gutters and blowing and changing light bulbs of the bus. But hey, I had Pro Football Hall of Fame on my resume for two summers. Hey,
before we dig in here into what we're going to talk about this beautiful Memorial Day weekend, not only we want to send a big shout out to everybody who had a family member who served in the armed forces, because I think this weekend is to remember the people who are giving their life for everything we have, but also to their families, because they sacrifice a ton as well. But also, every show, Joe G starts it with Yehey. And that is a tribute to Charles Grodin, who also passed away since we last were on the air here with Wine and Gold Radio. So I think it's a guy that made us all laugh. And I can say hello in many languages except yours, Joe G, but, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, the great Charles Grodin. So, a moment of silence for Charles Grodin.
What's the name of your establishment?
Red's Corner Bar.
Are you red?
Yes, sir.
You dye your hair?
No.
Why do they call you Red?
Oh, it's short for Red Wood. My last name's Wood.
What's your first name?
Bill.
Thank you for cooperation, Bill.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey. Sean, before we move on, my buddy, and I told Sean before we started that my buddy and I, every year he comes in to visit Cleveland. He's from Cleveland, and we go to the Canton Football Hall of Fame. And every time we talk about the Hall of Fame, we talk about the time that O.J. Simpson's head, not his head, his bust got stolen from the Hall of Fame. Rafa, do you even know this story?
I have no idea what you're talking about. And I have to admit to something here on the air. I have never been to either the football or basketball or baseball Hall of Fame.
Ooh, now is it like a protest or would you go?
No, I never had, you know, I worked in the NFL for 13 years, and then I never got a chance to do it. And the Major League Baseball one, I'm running out of time with that one, but I would love to go with my father and see it with him. But I haven't been, I've been so close now, I just realized how close I am to it. So maybe you take me with you.
Yeah, when we go on our visit, you should come with us. We'd love to have you. Back to the question.
You know, I only do full access stuff. I don't do lines. I don't do, you know.
Hey, even though I only used to clean the gutters and stuff there, I think I still got the hookup, so I can probably.
Yeah.
I did a good job that I think I might still be able to arrange it.
So what did O.J. Simpson get stolen there?
So years ago, and this is after all the O.J. stuff. You know, you've seen enough where you've seen it on TV where there was all those busts of all the Hall of Famers, right? Mm-hmm.
Bronze bus.
Yeah, bronze
spotlight.
And I've never, Sean, you've probably picked them up and moved them around. They can't be light.
Joe, so when a light goes out, that there's a little light on each bus that shines on it, makes it look nice in the hall, it makes it look pretty. But when those, that was how I used to, I didn't ever know when I was done working every day. My boss, Tim Treiner, God rest his soul, I didn't know when I was done working for the day, but when he said, all right, let's go to the bus room, that's when I knew I was done for the day. Because we walked through, and if a light was out, I had to show up at like 5 or 6 a.m. the next day, depending on how busy the day was. Because when one of those lights go out, you have to take every single nameplate off of that year's class of bus. Then you have to take off the bust itself from the shelf.
Oh.
Then you take the granite panel that's behind it and remove that. And then you remove the light shelf that plugs into the wall. And then you have to put everything. So it's an hour and a half process, depending on.
Wow.
Class of 68, there was like 15 people. And in some classes, there was only 4 or 5. So we had to, that was how I knew I was done at the end of the day. So yeah, I mean, it's, those things were on there tight, which leads into this story of the theft being that much more impressive.
So how heavy? Heavy as a bowling ball?
Yeah, no, I'd say a dozen pounds. It's a big bowling ball. Yeah, I mean, I'd say 12. Back then, I think they were plaster and bronze back then, so they might have been a little lighter. Okay. That's just my deep knowledge of the Hall of Fame. I think they're all totally bronze now, but even so, let's just say a dozen pounds. Let's say
so wait a minute. Somebody walked in there and took OJ's bust? Wow.
Yes.
They took OJ's bust, took it, got on 77, and before they got downtown, they threw the bust out of the car.
Oh.
Threw it out the window. It was on Interstate 77 in pieces.
So some maintenance workers found it. And my buddy and I, again,
wow,
every year, and we always say, did the guy screw up? Should they have kept it? But then you think, if you had kept OJ's bust, A, you couldn't show it to anyone. Because, you know, obviously word would get around. And B, we wonder if it'd be like Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart, where if you had it, it'd be like in your basement, like thumping, and you know it was down there the whole time. But you feel guilty having it. So we just wonder, like, whatever happened, somewhere out there, there's one or two guys, and I'm assuming it's dudes, because women would never do something this stupid. I got to believe it's two dudes that took that thing and just chickened out and chucked it out their car window.
Well, one of two things. They either immediately felt guilty and they wanted to get rid of the evidence, right? Or they felt that strongly about OJ getting off that they just made the statement that he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, and then they just got him out of there and threw him and got rid of him. Maybe it was just the whole thing was a statement.
I'll go with the second one, because you can't deface any place with something that you're not going to be able to show it to anybody.
Right.
Well, let me ask you.
You know?
Let me.
Like, I have.
But his bust is there now, correct?
I mean, well, they made a new one after that. Yeah, I think everybody got a new one. Because like I said, they used to be plaster, part plaster. This is kind of crazy, but they had a storage warehouse that I had to go to and get something one time, that like some kind of decorations or cones they kept. And actually some of the old busts that you were in plaster were like in boxes, like the actual busts from the 60s and 70s. But you know, the ones back before they replaced them, it was like, and they were all shipped like in boxes and stuff. So they made them a lot better.
When it comes to the Hall of Fame between baseball and football, because I think the NBA, it's got different ways to bring people in. Which one is harder to get in, do you think?
I would think Cooperstown, New York, because it's like a whole pilgrimage and the whole, you know, you go there. I feel like it's much more of a destination than the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
No. But I mean for the players to get in, to get elected to the Hall of Fame.
I would think same thing, baseball. I would think baseball too, right? You know, it's just kind of, you know, more positions, less spots to go around, maybe a little more curmudgeon-y writers that are a little tougher on the criteria to let people in. I don't know. That's my opinion. What do you think, Joe?
I think, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. So basketball people get in. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Sheik from Toronto, the super fan, he owns car lots.
Yes, who's awesome.
I think he just got in. So it's the basketball.
Is Chief Brondon in? The chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? I thought that's the chief you were referring to.
No.
Dunk it.
On Friday afternoon, talking a little Cavs, Kobe Alt, Cavs GM, kind of broke down the season, some positives, some negatives, some good things, bad things. In terms of the Canton Charge, he talked about JB and about what a good job he did with some of the roster players, some of the two-way guys, some of the guys that never made it to Canton. And again, I thought that was really good. And Sean, you can talk about a couple of the guys. Lamar Stevens, I asked you about him. He never made it to Canton. Never made it. He was too good.
Yeah, Lamar was a great Charge player in the sense that we never saw him. He helped out the Cavs a ton. And it's kind of one of those things. It's just the way it works out. You know, your two ways. Sometimes you have them, you go back and forth, and then, you know, all over the place. Sometimes you stash them with the Charge and just let them stay with us and marinate and play for a while. In Lamar's case, you get a guy, NBA player and contributor for a G League contract price. And I obviously he was too good. The Cavs couldn't let him go. And I don't blame him. He was a great contributor all year long. And like I said, they were able to get him at a discount because he was a two-way player for so long until he was converted.
Yeah.
You know, and Dean Wade has done such an amazing job too. We had him on Cavs HQ and talked about how, unfortunately, for people to get opportunities, somebody either had to get hurt or something bad had to happen for something bad, somebody to make something good out of it, right? And in the case, it's the nature of the beast. In the NBA, there are injuries of what we have a ton of this season, but you have to at least smile when you think of Dean Wade and Lamar Stevens, who apparently we both now know that both their grandmothers text them after every game and stuff. So, but for you, Sean, you've seen these guys in terms of in Dean Wade, Broderick Thomas, and everybody else that worked with the Charge, and Coach Nate has done such a wonderful job. But how much has your job or the process changed from the 4 years going to the finals when it was mostly the rookies going down to kind of keep moving, like Joe Harris, who is killing it now with the Nets, to now actually being a place where the Cavs go down and get players that play significant minutes. So for everybody at the Charge, it had to be something to look up to, no?
Oh, absolutely. And it's a thrill because, you know, for us, it's no surprise. Dean Wade in his first game with us had 21-20 in the G League last year, first game. Played all year, was a double-double machine, was huge for us. Obviously one of our best players, and we had one of our best seasons ever. So an average Cavs fan that might be like, where do we get this kid from? It's like, you know, for us, it's no surprise because it was literally a year coming of this happening from when he came to us and worked with us and kind of just learned how to be a pro. And like you said, the schedule is a ton of games. It's a huge grind. There's injuries. You got to work on your body more than you ever knew you had before. And, you know, that whole process with us working on him with him last season, and all of a sudden it comes to fruition. I mean, that's literally why we exist for the Canton Charge. I mean, to produce guys like Dean and that then come contribute with the Cavs next year without having been a draft pick. So, I mean, yeah, we couldn't be more proud. You better believe we would watch every game with a little extra interest, watching when Dean would get in. And when we were in the bubble in Orlando, man, we were all watching the games. He was starting his starting string of games started when we were down there too, which was fun to watch. So, I mean, yeah, that's what we hang our hat on. That's literally why we exist is for guys like Dean to work on them and get them ready to see the Cavs and see the show.
And I'm sure you're better at this with the numbers, but the percentage of players in the NBA that have been through the G League – have gone up considerably in the last couple of years. And I always mention it, and I mentioned you on my broadcast when there were times where we had almost the whole lineup had been through Canton this season, you know, with the way all through the G League when all the other players came in. And what is that percentage now? And then better yet, the question should be, from your experience with the G League, what is the biggest misconception that people have when it comes to thinking of what the G League actually does for the NBA?
Yeah, so I gotta look exactly. It's around 50%. It's around 50% of NBA players on the opening day roster for this past season had G League experience. So, I mean, that's huge. I mean, and that goes down from, you know, guys that were lottery picks all the way down to just undrafted diamonds in the rough like Dean Wade, who just need a little more time polishing. So that's huge. And I think the biggest misconception is that I think, you know, just because it's a minor league and it's in some smaller towns, that I think anybody that, you know, has never seen a game kind of just thinks that, oh, I can tear it up in my men's league. I want to go play with the G League. You know, I have a rec team, a semi-pro rec team that plays. Now we want to scrimmage the Canton Charge. It's like, look, this is literally – these guys have one or two skills that they need to work on to be NBA roster contract players. This isn't like – there's no way anybody on the street can compete with these guys. Either 21, 22, 23 years old or in their – you know, that's the thing. The biggest misconception is people that have never seen a game just don't understand. Like, this is literally – NBA ready talent. This is the best basketball league in the world besides the NBA. And it just happens to be the minor league of the NBA that's playing in, you know, a 3,000 seat arena in Canton, Ohio, instead of playing, you know, playing in the big city. So that's the biggest misconception. And then you see a game and you're like, holy crap, these guys can play. And not only that, but then the effort level, you know, at all time, you know, because they're literally playing for a job. They know there's NBA scouts at every game. There's NBA scouts and personnel watching every game because of technology. You literally download any G League game right after it's over. So they are playing for jobs all the time. So, I mean, the passion and the effort level, I think, every night, no matter if it's a Wednesday in Erie or if we're playing at the Barclays Center, having a special feature game, these guys are bringing it because they know there's always something to really play for. So that would be what I would say.
And then it seems like there's – I don't know if it's a trend, but it seems like players now are thinking about – instead of going to college, instead of going overseas, I believe it's Jalen Green, correct?
There's a few. Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, those two kids are going to be top eight picks in the lottery this year coming up. And then they both played in the G League this past year. You're right. The Ignite is like a new program that they started for, you know, kids to basically go, you know, it's pro school. It's how to be a pro. Instead of 1 year at a college or university, then entering the draft, it's like, all right, I know I want to be an NBA player. So they literally go in and they have media training classes and social media classes. And then they're practicing even more extended time. And it's literally like a pro school that they had this year. That was literally the first season they did it in the bubble in Orlando that we had. So that was, I mean, there's two kids. Jalen Green's going to be a top three, top four pick, probably top, you know, and then Kuminga will be in the top 10. You know, at least if you read the mocks anyway, right now, that's what it says. So, premier talent is seeing and recognizing how good this league is. And then now that the league itself has this Ignite team that'll even cater more to them. I mean, there's a couple more recruits, names escape me, but I know there's top 10 recruits that have already committed for this fall, you know, so it's still going again. So it's a big deal.
Can I back you up there, Sean? Cause I mean, I have to plead ignorance. I don't know too much about the Ignite.
Yeah.
They're just they're one of the teams in the G League.
Yep.
Yeah, they're in the G League. They are owned and operated by the NBA G League Basketball Operations Office that kind of, you know, it's a team of international prospects, you know, prospects that aren't qualified for the NBA draft yet but are out of high school. It could be, you know, it's also filled in with some guys that were kind of borderline NBA talent that just weren't under contract with anybody yet, too, that kind of filled it out. It was a combination of all that. But yeah, I think the best way to describe it to everybody, it's just like it's a league run and operated pro school. And it's obviously was really beneficial because you had top tier prospects come out. Isaiah Todd, Kuminga, Jalen Green, like a lot of these guys will get drafted, you know, in a month from now. And they were in the G League this past year. So obviously it was a huge benefit. And there's going to be more of that to come. for sure.
I hear John Calipari is a real big fan of you taking the one and dones and put them on the Ignite.
Yeah, I bet a lot. I'm sure a lot of NCAA coaches are, real fans of that. I'm sure they'll all survive.
Well, there's plenty for everybody, man.
Yeah, we'll take a couple. I'm sure the Dukes and Kentuckys of the world will still find a way to stay afloat.
John, you talked earlier about being in the bubble, and I want to kind of talk that, but I want to talk about travel in general, because almost weekly we talk about John and Rafa and I talk about really how nice the NBA travel is, how spoiled we are.
Oh, I bet it is.
Yeah. And look, we know, we do understand that we don't belong there, and it's extra fancy, and it's way over the top. And you guys travel, obviously it's tougher, way tougher. Talk me a little bit about the bubble. And then if you can, I want to ask you about some of the trips. What are the bus rides like? What do you got? Yeah. You know, Z-Man has told me stories about stopping at, McDonald's in the middle of the night and stuff. So,
man, I'll give you the bubble, but for the travel is the best and the worst parts about the job. But, the bubble itself was cool. We were exactly like the NBA was, except NBA had a huge, resort, a Disney resort. We just had kind of the corner of what they had. So we had a smaller section, but it was the same setup. I mean, we had practice, NBA quality floors, like in these conference rooms where we practiced, and we went over the Worldwide of Sports and Disney and used a couple of those gyms. And, we were used the same dining hall, used the same shipping and receiving, so they a lot of exactly what they had set up for the NBA and the WNBA last year, they carried over to us. So, I mean, from my, as much as somebody that does all the logistics for the team, it's a huge task each season, and having to do it like on the fly in the bubble was kind of very daunting, but the league had it really kind of set up because they had a groove from having done it a couple times that it was really seamless. Just the scariest part is just getting everybody down there and negative tests and everything like that. So it was an experience. I mean, personally, it was great. I bought a house before I left, and I came back and I was lived in a new house, and shout out to my wonderful wife who made all that happen and moved everything in. But it was great. From a team standpoint, it's like, we had like a little section of the Coronado Springs Resort, our own little charge dorm, floor. And it's like, all right, everybody meet out by the fountain at 5 o'clock for testing and dinner and for practice and stuff. So it was just easy. You didn't have to worry about, driving, flying, the luggage and stuff like that was more minimal than usual. So a lot of it was easy. Easy, I'm giving air quotes in a sense, but also it's like, 10, 12 hours a day basketball, you have less hands on deck to help out. So I'm doing the laundry and, putting laundry loops on guys' door in the morning before practices. And everybody's doing the little stuff and pitching in and making it all happen. So it was different. It was fun. It was a heck of an experience. It was, I wish we could have won some more games. We kind of got in our groove a little too, play 15 games in 24 days. Even though you don't have to go anywhere, that's still a lot of games to play. No travel or nothing. It's still a lot of games to play. But, wish we could have won more games. Bottom line is, as we talked about, Lamar Stevens, he never showed up to us, but he was a success. We found a guy, Broderick Thomas, diamond in the rough down there. He was a huge stud. So it was a huge success for us still, despite not having getting the playoffs and win a trophy. That's not what it's all about for us from, the Charge standpoint. It's, how can we help the Cavs? How can we develop players? How can we find players, give them a look at players? So it was a success in that regard for sure this year. And then if you wanted to get into travel, I mean, I've been doing it for 10 seasons now. I can tell you all kinds of stories. You can ask me whatever you want, man.
the most amazing part to me is that you not always go by plane, correct?
Right. Yes, we do either planes or we do bus trips. So if it's like Fort Wayne, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, formerly Erie, who just had their last season. We used to bus to Toronto, believe it or not, 6 hours. Wow. If it's kind of the closer ones, we'll bus. We've taken a sleeper bus from Chicago before, but mostly it's commercial flights. It's 20 people, 30 bags, 8 of which are heavy bags, and you're herding cats through the airport and trying to make sure nobody stops at Auntie Anne's and gets distracted and misses the flight or is on their phone, not paying attention, then going sitting in another terminal. I mean, it's herding cats is the best way to describe it. But also you get to go to places like Portland, Maine, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Austin, Texas, and all these funky cities and towns you never would go to in a million years. And you always find Santa Cruz, California, you know, you always make the best of it. We always make the best of it, whether we're eating at McDonald's, saving per diem, or we're going, finding a good food spot and doing team meals, or you know, we always make the best of it. So the travel is, it's brutal, but it's also very fun. And, you know, it can be very rewarding.
So are you saying that your bus, when you, let's say you take a 6-hour bus, your bus is not loaded like the cab flight with the chips and the stuff and the goodies on the overhead compartment and then like the menu,
so,
the buffet in the back?
Well, usually, you know, I've gotten smart over the years because we try to cater it and then everybody gets mad and somebody doesn't like it, you don't eat it. So we'll have the bus stop at like a plaza, like right after practice before we leave. And it's like, all right, everybody's got 20 minutes to get whatever they want. And then we're hitting the road and we only stop for like a bathroom break and everybody's got enough food and stuff because we tried feeding everybody, but you can't please everybody. So if you just stop for a little bit, everybody gets what they want and everybody's happy. And that's
so it's guys getting on the bus with like Mike and Ike's and beef jerky and stuff.
Absolutely. 100%. Cause yeah, they'll get grocery store, Walgreens. Yeah. It's exactly what you're thinking. Yeah.
Are cold beverages allowed in the bus during the road trip?
You know, no, it depends. Mostly no. If you ask the staff, you know, staff sits in the front of the bus. You can be a little sneaky sometimes, but it depends on the road trip. I know, I'll have to tell you guys off the record one time about when we lost the playoffs and came back from Toronto, then everybody stopped at the duty-free shop before the 6-hour ride. That was a fun time. A Cavs assignment was a great time. That's an off the record story. I'll tell you another time. But so once in a while that happens, but most of the time it's just we're after a game and it's like we're in Grand Rapids and we just get on the bus and the coaches code film and cut film and I write my press release and send it out and we just kind of take a nap on the bus. Everybody gets their own two seater, and that's about it.
Nice. I mean, again, people, you talked earlier that you're the Canton Charge czar, and in a lot of ways you are in that you do, you know, we have, with the Cavs, we have specialized people for so many jobs. You kind of do, you talk about doing laundry down there. I mean, a bit of everything. You write and you're a good writer too. I got to compliment you on the air. You're
known to have pretty good alliterative puns. Yeah,
you're great at that. Which I mean, hey, once you get that sport, that's like 80% of sports writing, dude.
You got to get the people going,
right? You seem like you do a little bit of everything with the team, which has to suck in a lot of ways, but it also has to be kind of cool in that the guys must really know you as the man.
Well, yeah, Joe G. I mean, I joke about it. I haven't stayed here so long because I'm getting paid. They're making me rich. You know, it's just a great job. You get the purity of working for a basketball team, a sports team. There's no red tape. There's not a lot of craziness going on. There's, you know, 12 players, 6 coaches, two trainers, me and LaRon, our player development person, and that's it. So there's 22 people in the travel party. That's it. And yeah, I do a little bit of everything. I do the writing, do the website, social media. I'm our equipment manager. I do coordinate all the team travel and the team practices and like the buses and everything on the road, the hotels, per diem, all that stuff. Yeah, I've been around for a while, so I've inherited some of it. But it's fun. Like, you know, like you said, it does suck sometimes. But I mean, literally, I talk about basketball all day, every day. It's my job is to like. You know, I'm the team uncle, I'm the team dad, I'm the team, you know, manager, whatever you want to call it. And I love it. It's fun. I'm terrible at basketball. I couldn't make a free throw of my life dependent on it, but I love working for a basketball team. I love the people in basketball and it's a great gig. Yeah. It's the purity of it. I'll see some of my old coaches, Alex Jensen, for example, was our first head coach. He's like one of the top lead assistants for the Utah Jazz who are, you know, obviously doing well right now in the Western Conference playoffs. I talked to Alex Jensen like once a month and every time he'll tell me, oh man, I miss it. I just miss Canton. I missed the D League. You know, it's just like, it's pure basketball, man. It is a really fun gig. And then every time somebody sees a game and they're like, oh crap, you know, the G League, it can play. It's pretty great. You know? So it's like, it's a reason why I've been here so long. It's we do pretty well what we do.
Me and Alex Jensen went to a trad game once, and I remember you housed quite a few hot dogs.
Oh yeah, hot dogs and beers. Yeah, I can put them down, man, for sure.
You just touched on a very important topic too, because
my number one thing. Sorry, Rafa, what's that?
It's okay. That's okay. We, you know, because we have talked so much about players, but the G League is also the bulletin board for coaches as well. You mentioned Alex Jensen. You know, Jordi Fernandez is also a front row assistant with the Nuggets, who was also with the Charts. And I'm sure there are plenty of other G League teams that have had assistants or head coaches that have moved onto the big game.
Yeah, Jordi Ola, my guy. You're right. Jordi Ola's for the Denver Nuggets and Coach Malone's staff, elite assistant there, a guy that was with us for a few years and led us to a few of our best seasons ever. Steve Hetzel, another – he was our head coach 1 year. He was with the Charlotte Hornets and the Orlando Magic ever since. You're right, Rafa. It's, I mean, we've had film guy. We got film guys, Utah Jazz film guy, and a former Warriors film guy used to be our film guy. I mean, it's everybody. It's player development. You ask LaRon, who does our player development, player services. You know, she wants to be at the NBA level. It's sure. We're developing, talent in every facet. You're totally right. Coaches, support staff.
Wasn't Gansey also with the Charge at one point?
Gansey was our GM. Gansey, right? Sure. Assistant GM of the Cavs was our GM at first. He was actually an intern. He was like an intern starting out and was basketball operations and covered us. Yeah, it was his first job, you know, his first, you know, part of the organization. So, yeah, it all starts down. It really does. A lot of it starts down here, and that's – I mean, for me personally, I feel like I don't ever want to go up because I like what we do and I think we do it well. And it's like I said, I like being a part of it and I'm a big believer in it. So that's why I like being the Charge Czar.
Before they move you to the big game, I gotta ask you something because you said, you know, you're the Charge Czar. And I have two requests or suggestions. I don't know which way. The first one is the only piece of equipment that I own from the Charge I have to win in a raffle.
Right, right.
That's just a hint for you. Extra large, by the way. And also, the Charge is right now the only organization under the Cavs organization that has not had a Spanish game broadcast. So I'm asking for a friend if we can do something for next season.
Well, you know, that's funny you ask. These two things kind of have the same answer. There's a spot that's been reserved for you that has a bag of gear at the Canton Charge game. You just kind of got to show up to the game to get it all and plug in and be able to start calling the game. So anytime you want, we can make that happen on both of those very easily. I think what we do for the latter one, most importantly, is look at when both of our schedules come out. When are you in town? Yeah. When is there a day that makes sense? And then that's the day we pick out and make that happen.
Let's plan it. I want to, and I want to make it up to the Coliseum too. I want to catch a game. Ever since, you know, Joe Harris was going up and down, we always talk about, like you said, the schedules never really lend itself to heading out there, but I'm in next season. If there's a day that we can actually have a special theme night and bring some Latinos to the Canto Coliseum.
I think I hold your shirt hostage at my desk when the schedules come out. Then you come get your shirt and maybe we pick out a game.
And also, Sean, like one of your other duties is ordering gear, which is probably like one that you love.
It's my favorite part. Yeah.
And you order the best gear every now and again. I'll see you in Canton gear. I'll be like, damn, dude, that's pretty sweet. So you do a good job at that too.
I'm proud of two things: our reputation around the league for the best gear, and my reputation for food recommendations on the road. And those are two things that we're very proud of. Yeah, in Canton for sure.
Last thing I got to ask you, as long as we're talking Canton Charge, and then I want to wrap up and talk about some playoffs, some NBA playoffs. We want to know what's he doesn't make all the trips with you, but what's it like traveling with Z-Man?
Z-Man, first off, Z-Man loves traveling so much. He almost gets mad when you won't let him carry bags because he just loves being a part of the crew. He wants to do anything and everything. He'll carry take out the trash for us. He doesn't care. He just loves it, being a part of it. And that's, you can't ask for anything more than that. And number two, we need him to get to travel more because the coaches love him because he rebounds every practice. And I don't rebound. I go, no, I'm doing social media. I'm doing other stuff for you guys. I'm not rebounding. So Z-Man rebounds. So that alone is worthy enough. We need as many bodies as we can get rebounding and stuff. But it's great. It's great. I love it. He for a guy that doesn't have many calories in his life, I'm sure he doesn't like traveling and going out to eat with me on the road. But he fits in very well. We love having him.
Have you, Sean and Rafa, I know both of you guys probably been watching some NBA playoffs. They're going on right now. Rafa's saying he's not. I kind of want to get some of your thoughts, and I'm going to lead it off because I have some a thought I wanted to get your thoughts on. I love seeing the crowds. That's one of the greatest things about the playoffs. I didn't see the Boston game, but I heard they're going to get 17,000 today. The crowds have been great, but also last week, a couple incidents where in Madison Square Garden, somebody spit. In Philly, they dropped a pile on Russell Westbrook. This bothers me. I have to say, this is out of hand. Fans, they're out of hand, and I would almost like to tell them, what would you be like if there wasn't a crowd there? Would you do that to a guy if there weren't people to protect you? You know, I just that was something that bothered me last week, and the crowds have been great, but that's been bad. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that.
Well, it's like everybody forgot how to act being home too long for a year or something, or they think you got those masks on, they can do whatever they want. You can't read. I don't get it either, man. It's like, it's just wild to me, like, that people think you can just do that. I don't know if they're watching too many TikTok videos, internet pranks or what. And for real, like, it's baffling to me that you just think you can just do this to people and just get away with it. Nonetheless, yeah. NBA players in arenas full of people with cameras everywhere. It is pretty sad, man. I agree. It's appalling.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything a product of what we have gone through the last 16 months. I think we have had animals and idiots in the stands before that. And my question, Joe, is not only, you know, would you do it if the arena was open, if the arena was empty or whatever. My question is always like, what possesses you? What gives you the thought that you can actually spit at somebody or you can actually throw food? Forget about the act of just wasting food. That's another topic. But just what gives you the thought that you have the ability to do that to another human? You know, that is the thing that baffles me. And then again, if Trae Young is aware of it, that somebody spit at him, who out of everybody in the arena or anybody that is an NBA fan would actually be surprised if he turns around and jumps in the stands and clocks the guy? And then you know what the result of that would be. Right. So it is incredible that this still happens nowadays, but it's something that has to be clean. And I think whoever is sitting next to somebody throwing or spitting, they got to call them up right away. Because, I mean, forget about that of the act being wrong. It's just it's not good for anybody. I don't want to be around that, you know?
No, and I think, and this has been said 100 times, but social media is – one of the best things for sports, one of the worst things for sports, in that people feel like there's this barrier that's broken down, that all of a sudden you and I are on the same level, and really you're not. It's
One thing is in social media that gives the people the ability to troll somebody and just be rude to somebody that you don't even know. But another thing is to go out to an event and spit at another human or throw food. I mean, that has nothing to do with social media. I mean, that is something that has gone wrong with humans in a bad way.
What are you guys liking about the playoffs right now? Is there a team, a player that you're kind of keeping your eye on? For me, it's Luka, man. That guy, he's pretty amazing, but there's so many good players going right now and so many good teams. What are you guys watching?
Well, I mean, there's all this talk about the big three in Brooklyn, but they'd be nothing without Joe Harris, the stud starting wing that absolutely is the backbone of that team. So I'm biased. I'm watching Joey Hoops. I like the Nets game. I picked him up at the Air Force in Sioux Falls when he was playing 4 games in 4 days, going back and forth from the charge. I got nothing but love for that guy. I've been rooting for him all along, and every point he scores, I'm just so happy for him. He's just a great guy, great kid. Worked his tail off then when LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin and we were running on championships, and he was working then like he was playing for the, you know, he was a rotation guy for the Cavs, and that just is easy for a root for. So I'm all about Joe Harris. I'm rooting for the Nets.
What a great
and that's a guy pressure. That's a guy that you can root for. I mean, you he's a good human, and again, him, Wade, Steven, they're just proof that hard work pays off. It just might not be immediately, like for some players, but if you keep pushing that wall or that door, it's coming down. I don't know if you agree with me, but I think from watching the playoff, it's kind of like a generational jump here between the veterans that are trying to do what LeBron is trying to do to make it to another final with another team, what Chris Paul trying to make his first final, you know, another, and then you have the young guys who are acting like they've been there before. You know, Ja Morant having wonderful games against Utah. Trae Young is acting, you know, standing up to the I don't know if I agree with talking crap to New York fans, because that always, you know, just like do it first and then you can talk the talk. But, you know, Luka, you mentioned, I mean, it's just something that the future of the NBA is in good hands when you look at all these guys coming in, you know, Memphis. I mean, all these young kids playing amazing basketball from the playing tournament to now. So I like the young core coming up, because it kind of makes me feel good about what we have coming up too, with all these young under 25-year-old players that are trying to. I'm looking at this, I'm watching these playoffs and saying, man, you know, we gotta be invited to that party.
Well, that's when the team for me is most fun, is the climb where Memphis is right now, where Atlanta is, where the Suns are. You know, once you get into Milwaukee territory, and we've been there, then it's all pressure. That's not fun. I mean, that you're expected to do something, and now it becomes a job with these young teams. And I agree, Rafa, that's where we're going to be next year, I believe. That's when it's fun, when you're not supposed to be there, and you're, you know, all of a sudden you're the new kid, and it's really good watching those young guys.
And what's been great is also, you know, that usually when you talk about the playoff, it's like a different brand of basketball.
Yeah.
And it is. We've been there. It is. But for the guys this year to go from empty arenas to 15,000 fans, I mean, that totally took it to another level.
Yeah.
I used to be a New York Knicks season ticket holder, and I love that place. I mean, the Knicks doing well is good for basketball. It's good for the NBA. It's good for everybody.
We're getting down now into the middle of the first round now. What are your predictions moving forward? What do you guys see? Who do you like moving forward?
Man, that's tough. I don't know. It's hard for me to count out LeBron James even still. Personally, I just we're just seeing it. Even if he's not 100%, he's still somehow finding an extra gear, and they got that team playing really well. On that side of things, I'm just until I see it, I'm not going to believe anybody's going to beat LeBron, the Lakers. And then, you know, in the East, I mean, it's tough. It's, you know, that juggernaut that Joe Harris has in Brooklyn. It's tough to see that getting stopped in the East. Anybody. But it'll be interesting in a 7-game series, somebody that's got enough talent to match when the intensity gets turned up. And as you said, the pressure's on. It's a whole other animal, Joe G, in the conference finals. It'll be interesting to see what they got with new pieces that haven't really been in the spot before. So that, but I'm just going to go with that. See those two.
And Joey Hoops is perfect. Yeah. He's perfect for that team.
Yeah.
He'll take a shot anytime any of those three don't want to take it. And most of the time he'll make it.
And he's not just all jumpers either. I mean, the kid does have off the dribble. He does pretty decent off the dribble too. So he can do a lot.
And his passing, things. His passing has gotten a lot better too, working with these guys.
Yeah.
So I'm with you guys. I'm until the king is dethroned, it's hard to pick against them, man. It's hard to pick against them. People try it every year, and it's kind of a fool's errand. So we'll see. It's going to be fun. Sean Wyatt, the czar of the Canton Charge, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for taking the time.
But by the way, before we let the czar go, I know he's a cool dude, but what people don't really know that his wife is just way cooler than him.
Yeah,
so that's what makes him a lot cooler, you know? His wife Emily is a lot cooler than him, so it's a good, cool mixture there.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody who'll move all 100 and some pairs of my shoes without complaining while I'm down in Disney is way cooler than I am.
Yeah, they are definitely the coolest power couple in the organization.
Yeah.
You guys need a nickname like Brangelina or something, man.
Yeah.
No, it's just Emily and her husband. That can be good with me.
Yeah.
Sean, thank you for joining us on Wine and Gold Radio. We got to have you back. Maybe over the summer. Maybe even as the third co-host. Yeah.
Anytime, boys. You know where to find me.
Sean, go.
Thanks, man.
Enjoy your cool beverage. Rafa, I'll see you next week. And hopefully we'll have
sharing with us.
Gentlemen, Lynn.
What, you're not going to thank everybody today?
No thanks today. Off-season.
No thanks?
Everybody's taking off. It's just us three, man.
Hey, Rafa, you already thanked who's most important, and that's everybody who served us and protected us for Memorial Day. That's the only one that needs thanking.
I love it.
Amen. Thanks to the troops, and thanks to those who sacrificed so much for this country. And that's how we're going to wrap up Wine and Gold Radio. We'll see you guys next week.
Wine and Gold Radio.
You're listening to Wine and Gold Radio. Woo! Cleveland.
There's a long run!
Whoa.